the Manistan Alayla is only called Halelos. The only question is, who says Manistan? Depending on who says it, you have two different translations of what the term means. We usually assume the Kan Habein Shoel, the father makes Kiddush, and then it says you take away the whole table with all the food. We have big tables, you can't move the table away, but in the days of the Mishnah, they used to have small tables, and you take away the table with the whole food. So the child would ask the father, why did they take away the table? And then it says the Kan Habein Shoel, and it's assumed to be, and here the child asks, colon, quotation mark, Manasana Lalas and Kalalos, why is this night different from all the other nights? And he asks all these questions. In the days of the Beit HaMikdash, he asks another question regarding the Korban Pesach. Today we don't have the Korban Pesach, so he asks these questions. The Rambam has a different gift of paraphrasing the Mishnah, that's the way he writes. The Rambam says, the Kan Habein Shoel, period. Not the Kan Habein Shoel, colon, quotation mark, Manasana. Kan Habein Shoel, now the Chan is. Now they're going to ask whatever happens to be bothering him. What in the world is going on? Why did they take away the table? And whatever he wants to ask. Why they bought the second course? Yeah. They fill up the second course and then the child asks, why do they fill the second course? How come we don't go to say Hamayit? And then the Rambam writes that the father of the household, who's in charge of the evening, who's reciting the whole Haggadah to be Mayit to everybody else, in the days of the Talmud, there used to be one person would recite the whole Haggadah and everybody would be yaitzeh, which Shemei Koinah, like we do with Kiddush and Havdalah. One person recites Kiddush and Havdalah and everybody would be yaitzeh, which Shemei Koinah. So the Rambam writes, the father of the household who's reciting the whole Haggadah on behalf of everybody pays attention to their yaitzeh, he says, Ma Nishtana Alay Lazem Yisrael Halelah. In other words, according to the Rambam, it's not that these are the fear kashas, they're not fear kashas anyway. They're not really kashas, they're shayna. A kasha means a contradiction. How come over here it's white and over here it's black? So this kasha, you ask, why do you eat matzah today? That's a kasha. How come all other days of the year you can eat chametz and matzah, and tonight you can only eat matzah? It's a kasha. It's not a contradiction. It's a shaila. It's a little bit imprecise anyway that they call it the pure kasha. You want to call it something, you should call it the pure shaila. The child asks four questions. But according to the Rambam, it's not really a question mark. Manishtana, why is this not this thing? It's a declamation. Like when Yaakov Avinu woke up after having his dream about the Malachim going up and down, so he said, Man lo ra hamakom hazeh. So it's not that he's asking, why is this place more fearful from all other places? He says, how fearful this place is. Man lo ra hamakom hazeh.
The word ma doesn't mean why, it means how.
Right, they would have said, right. In simple Hebrew, you would say, Mitzvah ma. Mitzvah ma nishtana alayla zeh. Why is this not different? We don't say Mitzvah ma, you say ma nishtana. So in a simple translation of Hebrew, it's not really a question. That's how they have in the modern Haggadah. They translate how different this night is from all other nights, and it's not a question. It's a statement. But tonight is very different, and you mentioned four differences. You mentioned the matzah and the maror and hateva and the sibul, the dipping, and then you proceed to tell the Haggadah. According to that, and according to that Yerusha that the Rambam has, the Baal HaHaggadah says it. Not that the child says it, the Baal HaHaggadah says it. Right, and the purpose is so that the story of the Yetzias Mitzrayim should be related in the form of explaining Mitzvah Halayla. All other nights of the year, all year long, there is a Mitzvah Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is derived from a topic which we mentioned in the Haggadah. And the Talmud have a dispute whether that Mitzvah Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is limited only to the daytime, because it says Kol Yimei Hayecho, Kol is Marbeh, even Leilos. You have the obligation to recite the third parasha in Kriyat Shema, which is recited for the purpose of the Tzitzis Mitzrayim. Is that only recited in the daytime by Shachris? And then you recite that in Ma'ariv as well. So that's a dispute among the Talmud. Well, you have to recite the third parasha in Kriyat Shema by Ma'ariv. Our practice is that we do say it, so that's really the machloket. So one time it says that Kol is Marbeh Leilos. If there's one Kriyat to mention in Tzitzis Mitzrayim by Yom in connection with Shachris, the Dominant Shachris, and another field to mention the third parasha in Kriyat Shema in connection with Marbeh. The other time I'm disagreeing, they say, no, that Kol is not Marbeh Laila, the obligation to mention the Kriyat Shema is only in the Zeka. And Marbeh is nice, there's never any obligation. And the Kol is Marbeh Lehavim Gemurah HaMashiach. Rabbi Kibbeger in his commentary on the Mishnah points out that there's a Shinui Moshin over here. When the Chachamim say, Kol Yimei Chayecho Lehavim Gemurah HaMashiach, they say that even when Mashiach will come, and there will be the Gula Asiba, which will outshine and outshadow all the other Yeshuas and Gulas of the past, there will still remain a mitzvah of the Chiyus Pirsim Tzayim to mention the story of Pirsim Tzayim. So they use the expression, Mahavi Lemot HaMashiach, and this will even apply, Yetzer Mashiach times will come. The Zaymar who says that Lemot HaMashiach, this mitzvah of the Chiyus Pirsim Tzayim will not apply, because the Gula HaSida will outshine all of the first Gulas, including the Pirsim Tzayim. So there won't be any need to speak about the Pirsim Tzayim about the Lovay. And he says that the phrase "Kol Yemechayach Kol" is coming to be Mother Leilos. Kol Mazel, until Yemos Hamashiach, the obligation to mention Yisrael Mitzrayim is both by Shachris and by Ma'ariv, and Yisrael you have to recite the third parsha. So the Tzidaker in the commentary on the Mishnah points out that Achronim wondered why the terminology is changed. That Ben Zema says Kol Yemechayach HaLeilos, and Chachamim say Kol Yemechayach LaHavi. Why didn't they both say Lahavi, or why didn't they both just leave out the word Lahavi? Just say Kol. The Rabbi Halel, it's a Kol Halel. How come Ben Zayma says Kol Yimechayecha Halel, and the Chachamim say Lahavi the Mois HaMashiach? So they say in the name of Rav Elvel Soloveitchik that there's a major difference over here, that according to the Chachamim, who say that the expression Kol, they both Ben Zayim and the Chacham say that the word Kol is a Hebrew. That not only does the mitzvah of the Chiyus and Tzitzis and time apply at one time, it even applies at another time. The other question is, which is the other time that it applies? Does it even apply to Ma'ariv, up until the Mois HaMashiach, Shachris and Ma'ariv? Or does it come to tell me that this mitzvah applies even in Mois HaMashiach, but only by Yom and not by Laila? And if you tell me that the mitzvah applies even in Mois HaMashiach, then you're not telling me that there's a new Chiyus of the Chiyus and Tzitzis and time after the Mois HaMashiach. It means that this mitzvah that applies to Zman HaZeh will not become Batel Limos HaMashiach. But this is a mitzvah that applies L'Adel HaNetach Netzachim. So that's why the Chachamim use the expression L'Havi Limos HaMashiach. That the Pasuk Kol is Marba that the mitzvah will be L'Havi Limos HaMashiach. The mitzvah that applies to Zman HaZeh will still apply in Limos HaMashiach. Whereas Ben Zayma is telling me that by Yom or by Laila there's a separate Chiyuv. There's a Chiyuv, the Chiyuv is a certain time by Yom. And a separate Chiyuv is a Chiyuv, the Chiyuv is a certain time by Laila. Two distinct Chiyuv. So they cannot say Kol Lahavi Halelos. It's not Kol Lahavi Halelos that you marked that Laila is also included in this Chiyuv. Laila is not included in the same Chiyuv as the Chiyuv that is signed by Yom. There's a separate Chiyuv by Yom and a separate Chiyuv by Laila. And Zmanah Shozeh, look at Zmanah Shozeh. Each of the two mitzvahs is a mitzvah Sasei, as Man Grover. They're two different mitzvahs. No, the Rambam counts Kriya Shema Bavokre Ba'era, there's one mitzvah every day. And the Ramban, the Kriya Mitzvah, says we should count it as two mitzvahs. But even according to the Rambam, that in the Minyan mitzvahs, in counting up the Tayyar mitzvahs, and the 248 mitzvahs, I say, you only count it as one, but it's still a separate Chiyuv. For some purpose or another, for some reason or another, the Rambam holds that it's counted as one mitzvah. They're really two different Chiyuvim. Zmanah Shozeh, Lot is Zmanah Shozeh. There's a Chiyuv Bayom, and there's a Chiyuv Balayim, two different Chiyuvim. So that's why the Tanan uses a different expression. The Ben Zayma who says that it's Mar Balaylo doesn't say Lahavi Halaylo. The Chiyuv Bayom is not extended by Laila. It's a separate Chiyuv Bayom and a separate Chiyuv Balaylo. And the Chachamim who say Lahavi Lemos HaMashiach means that the mitzvah that applies to Zman HaZeh will still apply to Lemos HaMashiach. So the Rishonim all ask a question. If we pass in Halacha like Ben Zayma that this mitzvah of the Chiyuv exists in Shem every day applies by Yom or Balaylo and will not extend through Lemos HaMashiach, that's how we talk. We say three parshas in Kriya Shema by Ma'ariv, just like we say by Shachris, we say parshas by Yomer. And the purpose of the third parshas by Yomer in Kriya Shema is not so much for the tzitzis. Other rabbi tzitzis is not Nehegez Balayla at all. This is Yomer by Yom. But rather the purpose of the third parsha is to the tzitzis signed by Yomer Balayla. So in other words, we pass like the Zemer, that this mitzvah will not apply to Mosa Mashiach. If Mashiach comes, we won't have to mention we'll have to say the first two parshas in Kriya Shema Shachris and Ma'ariv, but we'll leave out the third parsha. So the Rishonim asked a question already. He said, "Hakamanish Tana Alaylos Ani Kol Alaylos." What is special about Pesach night? Different from all year long. All year long is also a mitzvah of Zechiras Tzias and Tzayim by Ma'ariv. And if you didn't say by Ma'ariv, so you say it before you go to sleep. Sometime at night, the Zechiras to mention the Tzias and Tzayim. If you would have held like the Chachamim that the Zechiras Tzias and Tzayim is only in the daytime, not at night time, and the Kol is Ma'ariv Limos HaMashiach, so it's different. Avel says, Rav, listen what different the taste of night is. And now it's night time, and tonight there is a Chiyuv to mention Yitzias and Tzayim, because tonight is the day of Yitzias and Tzayim. But since we pass like Ben Zayma, that every single day of the year there's an obligation to recite every night the Chiyuv to Yitzias and Tzayim. So what is special about Pesach night? Manish Tana Alayla Zayah, that is a special Dina the Hikaras and Dina Chobayah Mohanim, you have that mix every day of the year. That's the kasha that the Rishonim make.
But it's not
nice.
The table
was cooler already on. Yes. I mean, at the time of Yisrael, the sun was shining somehow, the Zohar said. Yeah, but let's say this coming Friday night, it's going to be Leil Tezor, it's going to be dark outside. So what do you need a special deal of sleeping, sleeping time, Leil Tezor, a special mitzvah, the Hikaras and the Dina? That's the regular mitzvah every night of the year. When you daven Myra, you have to mention it. See, it's on Friday night. Even though it's Pesach, you have to mention it twice instead of mentioning it once. Why? You can't fulfill the both obligations by mentioning it on time once. Why not mention it on time once in the year? So the Rishonim already say, and the Achronim spell it out in the Sivus, and this Hagoda that's called Maisenitim, explain the Sarihis, that the distinction between Pesach night and mitzvah of the Chirus is on time on Pesach night, and all year long, is a completely different mitzvah. On Pesach night, we call it Sifu Yetzias Mitzrayim, and all year long, we call it Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, because the nature of the mitzvah is different. All year long, even if you tell a third of the kids to Nimrus, you just say one line, the last pasuk in Parshas Vayomer. In Kriya Shema, you just say, Ani Hashem Lakechem, Asher Hotei Tiyas Kaneres Tisam Diyos Lachem Lekim, Ani Hashem Lakechem. That's what you just say, one pasuk. On Pesach night, you say, Kol Amar B'Lasapeh Harei V'Meshuvah. So you're supposed to tell a story. So that's why one is called Sipur and one is called Zechira. Zechira means you have to mention Zechira the Alma. And Sipur means to give an Arichah Zman to tell a whole Arichah. Another distinction between Pesach night and all year long is that all year long we go to the mitzvah by just telling it and mentioning it. You mention Ani Hashem Lakechem, there isn't even a Din L'Hatchila that you should tell it to somebody else. The mitzvah L'Hatchila to daven with a minion, fine. To daven married with a minion every night. Why not the Heathen mitzvah? But there's no mitzvah to be. When you say Kriya Shema to say Zubayon, the last pasuk of Ayam to tell it to someone else. You don't tell it to someone else. You recite the parsha of Kriya Shema a bit deeper, but you're not telling it to someone else. On Pesach night, even though we discussed this thing, if you have nobody to tell the story, you see it from time, so you tell to yourself, the Mishnah says. But still, there is a hedonistic to tell it with Tzakel Lachem, because Sipur means to tell the story to somebody else, to transmit the story to Hashem. Hashem came to Zechira, means the Kitten Nimrus, and just to mention it. Another difference between Zechira to Tzakel Lachem and Tzakel Lachem is that the Sipur, you see it from time, Tzakel Lachem, should be in connection with the Mitzvah Talayla. You shouldn't tell the story of the Tzakel Lachem. You should tell the story in the form of explanation of Mitzvah Talayla. So that's why, whether according to the Rambam's pshat, that the Balha, the one who is Omer HaHagodah, starts off by saying, Ma Mishtana HaLayla, then they call HaLayla. It's not a question, it's a statement. How different this night is from all the other nights of the year. We have different mitzvahs tonight that we don't have all year long. And then I'm going to tell the story of Adam Hayinus to explain why we have these different mitzvahs. Whether you learn like the Rambam, that the Balha, the Omer HaHagodah, that the father of the household, the head of the household, recites the Ma Mishtana, or that the child asks the question, doesn't matter. On Pesach night, the story of the Tzitzitam should be told by Riches, La'acherim, in the form of an explanation of Mitzvah Halayla. So that's why we introduce the Avodim Hayinu, which is the Ikar of the Haggadah, with these points drawing attention to the Mitzvah Halayla. What are exactly the Mitzvah Halayla? So you really should have three, Pesach, Matzah, and Marah. So the Zman Shabbat and Mikdash HaYikam used to ask the question about Pesach. The Mishnah has, why all year long you can eat meat that's either the cooked, the boiled, the broiled, the baked, or whatever, fried, whatever kind of meat you enjoy. Halayla there, kulo tzli. On Pesach night, you're only permitted to eat broiled meat. So the Zman HaMikdash had a question regarding the Korban Pesach. The Zman HaMikdash, we don't have a Korban Pesach, so you can't ask that. So we still retain the other two questions. Why do we eat either the question or the statement that we eat matzah tonight and that we eat morah tonight? So there should have been the Zman HaMikdash 3 points, 3 mitzvahs mentioned, and the Zman HaMikdash 2 mitzvahs mentioned. What are the other mitzvahs that we speak of? So we mentioned the mitzvah of Hasedah, that you have a mitzvah of Hasedah on Pesach night. That is a mitzvah mid the Rabbanon, that's not a mitzvah mid the What is the nature of that mitzvah mid the Rabbanon? So the Rambam points out, the Rambam doesn't have a different view, so the Rambam points out, the Mishnah writes, Behold, the Rodal Chalvaram there is a Sas, Mekil Hu Yat Mitzvah. That everyone should have the feeling on Pesach night, this is just left to try, this is just left to try tonight. That's the obligation that the Avraham takes on to have such a sensation. The Osana Hosem Yishach, you have to quote the Pasuk, I've got to draw the 2 pasuk out of Mitzrayim. In addition to that, that if I have Adam Liris is out, everyone should have the feeling as if he left Mitzrayim, the Rambam writes, not a different gear, so you're right, that there is a Mitzvah, that's a Mitzvah in Atzeret. If I have Adam Liris is out, Mitzvah, he'll have Mitzvah. That's probably the most difficult Mitzvah on Pesach night. He didn't have Zayis Mitzvah to eat more, even to eat 5 days more Mitzvah. That's not hard, he stops more Mitzvah than you do. To be in that situation, to recite the Haggadah is not so hard. But to put yourself into the frame of mind, to have this idea in your head, that Ilah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the time, how the honor of the name of the name of the Shabbat, the fire of the giant, is very difficult, because we look into the history of the world and we see the way governments come and go, and there's a rise and fall of every country, of every government. And it's hard to believe that if not for the fact that there was the existence of time so many years ago, we would still be Mishabadim Lafarabim Mitzrayim. But that's what we're supposed to believe. Not necessarily that we would be Mishabadim Paro Dairet. It doesn't mean we would be Mishabadim to the same Paro, but it probably means that we would be Mishabadim to that type of a society. We wouldn't have the Torah values that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. And we wouldn't have been able to develop them on our own. So that's probably the most difficult mitzvah on Pesach night. To have this in mind on Pesach night, to think about this, to have the feeling as if we just left Mitzrayim spiritually tonight. But then the Rambam writes there is a mitzvah of the Rabbana that we call the Rodal Chayvarim Laharas Tatsmo. You have an obligation with the Rabbana to demonstrate that you have just become a Ben Chorin. How does one fulfill that obligation? So the Rambam writes there are two parts to this mitzvah. One part is supposed to drink a toast, to drink Lachayim. Four times, to drink the Arba Kaisis. It should be a shtiyah reva, it should be a pleasant drink. If the person doesn't enjoy the wine, he chokes on it, he can't stand it. But then it's not a demonstration of chayrus. Let's say a person wants to drink a toast, so he starts drinking schnapps. Even though he's coughing and choking and he doesn't enjoy it. So the Rambam writes, no, quotes the Gemara. It has to be a shtiyah reva, it has to be a pleasant tasting in the drink. And the Rambam quotes the Gemara that if you drink the wine and it's not muzzled, you didn't mix in the wine with the proper amount of water and it's too strong, it's too powerful, so you're not getting to that mitzvah. Of Laharas Kilo Huyatim Yatan, you haven't demonstrated that you have Ben Chorin. Because Ben Chorin drinks Lachayim and they enjoy what they're drinking. They don't suffer while they drink. So the Rambam writes one part of this mitzvah of Laharas is to drink Abukosis. The other part of the mitzvah to demonstrate that you are Ben Chorin is fulfilled by eating the Hasidus. Because three people in the days of the Tanoim and the Amoraim by the Greeks, by the Israelites, used to eat the Hasidus. So the fortune explained on the Agoda, that's where our salvation is. He used to say over every year from the Mice and Nisim Agoda, from the Nisidus and others, that in the fear of Kashis, or the fear of Shilas, or the fear of Mitzvahs, or whatever you want to call it over here, we used to mention Pesach Matzah Mora. It's not as they mean after Pesach, they say Matzah Mora. These are the Mitzvahs they write. But then you mention the Mitzvah of the Rabbanon, of Chai Bottom Laharas, Tatsmo, Kidu Huyatim, and so on. So we mention Hasedah. Once you mention Hasedah, the Abrakasis is included, because Hasedah and Abrakasis are the two parts of this mitzvah of the Rabbanon of Chai Varam Laharas Asatsma Kima Hu Yatsma and Sama, demonstrating that we are B'nai Chorus. And then we mention another mitzvah, which is clearly a mitzvah of the Rabbanon of Mabdilim. Why we dip in on Pesach now? What exactly is the mitzvah of Mabdilim? That's a major problem. So the Rambam in the Yara Hazakir passes like a blazer of Tzarek in the Mishnah that Chorus is mitzvah. The Tanaim had a machlekes regarding charoses. What's the story of charoses? Why do you have to dip the morer into charoses? So the Tanaim, one Tanaim says in the Mishnah, that it's just for the purpose of killing the worm inside the charoses. So what do you have to kill a worm for? It's not a matter of kashrus, because you're going to kill a worm, you're going to eat it. So finally, the worm is a kosher worm for some reason or another. That's the Gemara leads up to the Rashbam and takes it to explain why you're permitted to eat the mara with the worm in it. There's nothing wrong with eating the worm. The mara just says that it's unhealthy to swallow the worm while it's alive. So you have to dip the mara into the chalezes in order to kill that worm, in order to kill a keeper. That's how the mara says you should keep it. Of course, you would pay out to kill the worm, that it shouldn't be unhealthy to swallow. The one time it says in the Mishnah that the purpose of chalezes is just to help these, for medical purpose. And the Rambam passage is like a blessed Reb Tzadik, who says that chalezes mitzvah, that even if you have mara that doesn't have any worms at all, there's still a mitzvah to dip the mara into chareitzes. Why is that a mitzvah? A mitzvah in Atera. A mitzvah in Atera can't be. It doesn't say it from a mitzvah in the Rabbana. What's the reason for the mitzvah in the Rabbana? A mitzvah in Atera, you don't ask any kashi, what's the reason? A mitzvah in the Rabbana, why in the world did the Chachamim mitzvah do such a mitzvah? So the Gemara has, the Gemara is not sure, so the Gemara has three different guesses. One opinion is that it's Zechel Atis. To remember the cement that the Bnei Yisrael used to use in order to build all of the pyramids, in order to build all their buildings on behalf of power. One opinion in the Gemara is that it's Zechel Tapua, in order to remember the citrus trees that the Jewish people used to hide under and make love. The husbands would make love with their wives, as the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Tachas HaTapua HaRatikha, they had a hide from the Mitzrim who didn't allow them to be together. It was precious Darachares, they didn't allow the husbands to be together with their wives, so they used to make love under the tapua trees, under the citrus trees. And then the third opinion, the Gemara is guessing. Why should Rav Lezer Rav Tzorek say it's a mitzvah to have charoses? And the third opinion, it says in the Yerushalmi that it's a Zechel Adar. In order to remember all of the blood that was shed in Mitzrayim, all of the Jewish boys that were killed out in the street. So the Gemara says, therefore, since there are two different possibilities as to why, if you assume that Haraita is a Mitzvah, if Haraita is a Mitzvah, so you can use an antiseptic, or you can use whatever you want to kill a worm. Ask a doctor how to kill a worm. Ask a scientist how to kill a worm. Dip whatever you want. But we are not like a blood of Rav. The Rambam talks about like a blood of Rav Tzadok. It's a mitzvah to have chareisis. In fact, the Rambam writes that not only do you dip the maror into the chareisis, he says that he dipped the mat into the chareisis, and he says he dipped the carcass into the chareisis. Chareisis makes fun of the Rambam. He dipped the carcass into the chareisis, and there is no such thing. Dip the carcass into salt water or into vinegar. That's what it says. Into chomet, kosher with taste of vinegar, of course. It's kosher and kosher with taste of vinegar. And she says, that, there should be salt water. But the Rambam says, no, the Rambam says, if chareisis is only mishum kippa to kill a worm, then it only applies to dipping the mara, to kill a worm in the mara, if you think you have a worm in the mara. But the Rambam talks about chareisis is a mitzvah, because you have to dip everything on Pesach, not into the chareisis. But the one exception of the Korban Pesach. Even with Zman HaMikdash, the Rambam doesn't require that you should dip the Korban Pesach into the Haraita. Frankly, you have to demonstrate that the Korban Pesach is so delicious that it doesn't need anything, it doesn't have to be dipped into anything. Because when you have something that doesn't taste so good, then you dip it into mayonnaise, and you dip it into salad dressing, you dip it into something else. Korban Pesach is so delicious, you don't have to dip it into anything in order to enhance its flavor. So this mitzvah of the Rabbanan, the Gemara says, that having Haraita, if it's Zechel as Tit, to remember the cement that the Bnei Yisrael used to use when they were building on behalf of the Mitzrayim, so it has to be tarkus semucha, it has to be very thick. If it's supposed to be Zechel Adam, if it's supposed to be to remember the blood, so you have to pour in a lot of red wine, and it should not, the dust should not be thick. The blood is not thick like cement, it should be very thin, very watery. And if it's supposed to be Zechel Tapuach, if it's supposed to be reminiscent of the Tachas HaTapuach HaRaticha, the citrus, that under the citrus trees the Jewish couples would make love, so then the Gemara says it should have a little sharp flavoring from a citrus fruit. So therefore the Gemara says it should have all of them all combined together. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they write, how can you have everything all combined together? Either it's thick or it's thin. If you want to have Zechel HaTit, it's going to have to be thick, like cement. If you want to have Zechel HaDam, you have to pour in a lot of wine that it should be very thin. And it should be red. If you're going to pour in white wine, it's not going to look like blood. So you have to pour it after red wine or purple wine, that it should look like blood. But it has to be thin. So Taka says in the Shulchan Aruch, based on the taste, that first you should have the chareisis should be thick. Sitting on the table should be thick. And then when you're about to dip the maror into the chareisis, then you should start adding in a lot of wine and make it very liquidy, and then dip it in. It says in Shulchan Aruch that when paper falls out on Shabbos, like this, when paper falls out on Shabbos, so it's not proper to add the wine on Shabbos right before you're about to dip in the maror, because it's a hashash of lisha. On Yom Tov, you're permitted to do lisha. Lisha means to mix flour with water and to make a paste. So lisha on Yom Tov is permitted mitam heterech hanav. If you're going to eat it, then you're permitted to make a dough, permitted to make a mixture. But on Shabbos, even if it's for the purpose of eating, even if it's for the purpose of Echol Nefesh, there is no hetzik to do lisha. It says in Shulchan Aruch that whenever Pesach falls out on Friday night, you should pour your, whatever amount of wine you're going to pour into the chareis, you should pour in before Shki, before you bench lift, in order not to have to violate lisha on Shabbos. You won't have all the three zeches. You won't have such a combination of all of these. So this, according to the opinion of Ablezer ben Tzadik, this is another mitzvah of the Rabbanan on Pesach night, the mitzvah of Chareis. Either it's Zechel Atit, to remember the cement that the Rangel used, or it's Zechel Atapuach, to remember the citrus tree, or it's Zechel Adam, to remember the blood that was shed. So perhaps this is the pshat in the added shaila, or statement, that we point out, that on Pesach night we do matzilim, we dip. What is the mitzvah? We have to introduce the Avodah Mahir, and we have to introduce the Agodah, by mentioning all the mitzvahs of Laila. So Bizman HaMikdash said Pesach Matzil Mara. Bizman HaMikdash said Pesach Matzil Mara. Because we don't have it. We just have Matzil Mara. And then you add Mesubin. Mesubin goes together with Avrikosis. Those are the two parts of the Mitzvah of the Rabbanan of having to demonstrate that you're a Ben-Kohen. Chai Baram Naharas is not Kikilu Hu Yotim and Mitzrayim Zerato. And then the fourth Mitzvah that we mentioned is Matzilim. What exactly is the Mitzvah? This is so that's what Rashi said. If you all like Rav Lezer, Rav Tzadik. Like the Rambam pastors in the Yad HaChazaka. that Chayos is a mitzvah. Now you understand, we'll speak about that mitzvah. If you all like the other opinion of the Chacham, the Shani, the Mishnah, the Manish Tana, it doesn't say that only comes from Lezvah of Tzadik to say that line. Sounds like even the Chachamim of Lezvah of Tzadik will also say the Manish Tana of Madzimus. According to the Chachamim, that Chayos is not a mitzvah, so what mitzvah of the mitzvah Falayla are you referring to over here? Unless you should perhaps say that you're referring to the mitzvah of Karpa. That Karpas is, again, it's not a mitzvah manatayr, Karpas is a mitzvah of the Rabbanon. What's a mitzvah of the Rabbanon? We mentioned last week, the Rambam writes in the Yalach HaZaka that when you eat Karpas, you have to, the daf, to eat a kezayis. What do you have to eat a kezayis? So the Agor is minding on the bottom of the Rambam, quotes in the name of the Maharam Ritmer, that it must be a misprint, that there's no reason in the world why you have to eat a kezayis. That line, that you have to eat a kezayis, really belongs later by Maror. The Rambam, in the text of the Rambam, doesn't say you have to have a kezayis, mama. So it really belongs later. And other rabbi, we are mocked to that critique. Less than a kezayis of Karpas in order not to get involved in the topic or in the fashion. But that's the question though. According to the old text in the Rambam, it could be that Karpas is a mitzvah sachim and the Rabbanan. They were misakim. The reason why they were misakim Karpas is today she yisha lo hakin okon. But when I say they're misakim as a mitzvah sachim, perhaps, and that's why you need a kezayis. If you should say like that, then perhaps that's what we're alluding to. That's the additional mitzvah sachim. So we point out either questions or statements that on this night of Pesach we have a lot of different mitzvahs that we don't have all year long, and we're going to tell the whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which will shed light on all of these mitzvahs. So we go later and we explain it. Now what? We don't explain Karpas.
I mean, we don't
The reason is because you should explain. We don't spell it out in the text of our book. But that's how we introduce the Haggadah, either by pointing out the Yishayahs, by making the statements that tonight we have different mitzvahs, and we're going to explain the mitzvahs by telling the story of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Mishnah in Sochim also points out that there's another difference between Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim all year long, every night, as opposed to Sifri Yetzias Mitzrayim on Leil Pesach. That on Leil Pesach, you have to tell the story in the form of a contrast. You have to be Matkot B'Gnuz and Misayim B'Shvat. You have to start off by saying what a bad situation our forefathers were in, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed them and he made things wonderful. All year long, you don't tell such an arisus. You just say, you don't say that it was very bitter, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the time. Just HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the time in the time, the kids in the image. A Pesach night, part of the arisus, called a marble and sapper, part of the marble and sapper is you should be maskal b'gnuz from the Sayyem Mishrach. What exactly are you supposed to say maskal b'gnuz from the Sayyem Mishrach? The Gemara has a machlokes Rabbi Shmuel. Two different opinions, what the nusach of the Havara should be. The one opinion is that you say, Havara Marina Lefarad Mitzrayim, but you say, Hashem Rokein and Isham, etc. The other opinion is that you say, Mitzchila Obbi Havara Zohar Hara Abitzeinu, Rachshav Kervana Amokam Labi Dosa. So in effect, we say two Havaras. We say two Havaras in one. We say both the Havara of Rav and the Havara of Shmuel. Rav only said one, Havara of Shmuel only said one. Each one said a different nusach. And we, the Ramam, quotes from the Gainim, that they have combined, after the Fatina Sal Talmud, after the Zman HaHamayroim, they combined the both Nitzchot of the Haggadah, the one from Surah and the one from Pumbedit, so they combined it, and they said the both Haggadah. What exactly is the Machlekes between Rav and Shmuel? So they say over the name of Rav Elgul of Salvation, Toshib Shah, that the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim was, Ani Hashem Lakechem, Asher Hosei Tehez Chami Yer Tissam, Nios Lachem Lelekin, Ani Hashem Lakechem. The purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim is not some that it was unfair that the Jews should be fashklavs and they should be servants and slaves to the Mitzrayim, and Kadosh Baruch Hu redeemed them, and that was the end of the story. No, Kadosh Baruch Hu took them out in order to give them a Torah at Har Sinai 7 weeks later, and they were counting Sfira to lead up from Pesach till Minor Har Sinai. So the purpose, the pathos of the Tzias Mitzrayim was Kabbalah Sator, Mios Lachem Lelekin, that Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the whole Torah, we should be his nation, he should be our God. But the Tzias Mitzrayim Gufa was only the act of leaving Mitzrayim. So that's the machloek is Rav Shmuel, which should you stress on Pesach night? So the one on Mary says, Avodim Hayinu, by Yosien, you just stress the physical Yisrael Mitzrayim. We used to be slaves and work very hard, work our heads off. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us, we don't have to work anymore. You just tell the story that occurred on Leil Pesach. And the other opinion is no, that since the whole purpose, the whole topic of the Yisrael Mitzrayim is the Kabbalah Tatera, it's better to start by saying, Mitzchila Avdi Avodim Hayinu, Yashar Kerbar Amakom HaMakom Labadot, we stress the fact that we used to worship Avodah Zarah like all the other nations of the world. And then after Yetzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us the light, and he gave us the true religion. the Mepharshim talk about this Lashon Hara of the Avodah Zarah, Hari Avodah Zeno, our forefathers used to worship Avodah Zarah. Our forefathers referred to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So who worshipped the Avodah Zarah? Yitzchak and Yaakov didn't worship any Avodah Zarah. Avraham Avinu. Sounds like Avraham Avinu originally worshipped Avodah Zarah. So this is the question. The Rambam and the Mar Nebuchim says like that. That Avraham Avinu originally worshipped Avodah Zarah, and he looked around all the different Avodah Zarahs, and he tried everything out, and nothing worked, and he worked out the idea of monotheism, monotheism, a hidden God, one God created the world, and all of these Avodah Zarahs are all baloney. But the Rambam himself quotes the Midrashim saying that so. The Midrashim said that Avraham Avinu, he threw his bar at the age of three. Then Gimel, he cares about the age of three. So when did he worship Avodah Zarah? Before the age of three. That's a hard time to say. But the Pashtus, right, different Midrashim. When Avraham Avinu began to worship Avodah Zarah. So the question is, according to the various Midrashim, that Avraham Avinu was, if it wasn't another Avodah Zarah from a very young age, so who are we referring to over here? So the simple reading of the Haggadah sounds like we're referring to Avodah Zarah, we're referring to Avraham, that he used to worship Avodah Zarah. Some Rishayim have explained that it doesn't mean that. What it says in the Gemara and Brachos LaNikra Ovis Elish Leisha, that the three founding fathers of the Jewish faith are Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yankin, they were our forefathers, that after HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Avraham, and he told him that Goya Kalgoy Yen in Mecca, that the Eskola Goy Gogol, I'm going to make you into a great nation, from that time on, Avraham became the father of a new religion. Avraham was Avraham Goyim, and Yitzchak and Yaakov, these were the three of them. But before Bechirat Avraham Avinu, so who were the forefathers? Terach. Terach was our forefather. Biologically, he was our forefather. After Avraham was chosen, so Avraham was Jewish and Terach was a Goy, so we know, see halacha, there is no relationship, there is no kurva between a Jew and a non-Jew. So we can no longer refer to Terach as Avraham. But before Bechirat Avraham, Terach was Avraham. Biologically, he was our forefather. So that's a simple reading of that God, some of the questions. And the Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk in Yeshua, Koma Hashem and Gisol, the Ebam Dal Yashua, Abi Seichem, the Olam, your forefathers, who? Terach, Abi Avram, Bal Nacha, Bayav, Dunim, Acherim. The Terach worshipped Avodah Zarah, and his forefathers, his forefathers worshipped Avodah Zarah. But then, Ba'ekech HaSadichem, as Avraham, the Ebam, no, I chose Avraham to be the father of this new religion, and from that time on that Avraham was chosen, Ba'ekech HaSadichem, from that time on, that's the next pasuk in Yeshua, Terach is no longer referred to as Avraham Avinu because he's only a biological father. Of the halacha, since he was a non-Jew and Avraham was a Jew, there's no longer any curve between the two. So other Mepharshim say that that's what we're referring to over here. We're simply referring to the Bechirat Ta'avah. Then we continue to state, quoting the pasukim from Sefer Yeshua, we keep on quoting, for Etem Yitzchak et Yaakov et Esau, why does Yeshua ben Nun mention this in the middle of the story here? He says originally our forefathers used to be Terach and his ancestors. But then our Kodesh Baruch Hu chose Avraham Avinu to found a new religion, and from that time on, he is the beginning of this new nation, and only he, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, are called the others. And whoever came before is no longer called an after this new religion that was just founded now. Yesh me'ayim from Avraham Avinu, it's monotheistic religion. So we speak that this religion was transmitted from Abraham to Yitzchak and not to Yishmael. And then we say it was transmitted from Yitzchak to Yaakov and not to Esau. So why do we mention over here, why don't we just say that this religion was transmitted from Yitzchak to Yaakov? Why do you have to mention that Esau went to Arseya? So the Mepharshim explained that there is a Mishnah in Masechet Nedarim where it says that if a person takes a neder not to get hanoah from the descendants of Avraham Avinu, from Zer Avram, so Zer Avram doesn't include those non-Jews. There are a lot of non-Jews who are descendants from Avraham Avinu also. There are the Ishmaelim. Ishmael is also a son of Avraham Avinu. So what about all those who happen to be descendants from Ishmael? So the Mishnah says they're not included in turn in the phrase Zer Avram. And what about the descendants from Esau, who come out of Yitzchak? Yitzchak had two sons, had Yaakov and Esau. So only Yaakov and Avonov are considered the Zer Avraham. So the Gemara and the Rambam ask, how do you know that? That only Zerah, the Tosafot points out that Bain in biblical Hebrew means a biological child, and Zerah means the one who carries over Zerah Kosher below Zerah Kosher, the one who carries over the tradition of the father, of the forefather. So how do you know from the Chumash, from the Tanakh, that Zer Avraham only refers to Yitzchak and only refers to only to Yaakov, because the Pasuk says, "Ki b'Yitzchak yikar l'chazera." only Yitzchak was told to Avraham Avinu, only Yitzchak will carry over the tradition of Avraham Avinu, and Yishmael will not. So Yitzchak is called Zer Avraham, and Yishmael is not. But how do you know that from Yitzchak only Yaakov is called Zer Avraham, and Esav not? So the Gemara says, he be Yitzchak, will I call Yitzchak? Not all of Yitzchak, only part of Yitzchak will carry over the tradition. So from the two sons that Yitzchak had, Yaakov and Esav, how can you tell which one was the one who's going to carry over the tradition? So the Gemara never explains. How can you tell from the Chumash? How can you tell from the Tanakh? Okay, the term Zera, Avraham, appears in two different places. It says that Eretz Yisrael is going to be given to Zera Avraham, to those who carry over the tradition of Avraham Avinu. And then it says also, Ger Yer Zarach, Eretz Lolohem, that your descendants, those who carry over your tradition, will have to go into Golus. So the Pasuk here says, V'ekel Esav v'tarseh l'Eretz Yisrael, so Esav didn't suffer any Golus. He took his harseyer, and he had himself a good time. He didn't suffer at the hands of any foreign nation. Yaakov abode Yerid in Mitzrayim, only Yaakov and his descendants went to Mitzrayim. So therefore, just like Yaakov was the only part of Yitzchak who was included in the Ger Yer Zarach Eretz Lolohem, so that determined that only Yaakov is the Zer Avraham, and not Esav. So therefore, the promise of giving Eretz Yisrael to the Zer Avraham refers to the Zer Avraham, those who are descendants from Yaakov, not to those who are descendants from Esav, not to those who are descendants from Yishmael. Whoever is the Zera for the going into the Golus, Ger Yer Zarach Eretz Lolohem, those people are the Zera for the purpose of the Haftocha of Eretz Yisrael. The Haggadah has to be related in the form of Talmud Torah. We mentioned last week. So in Talmud Torah, we have a cloud that Chanoch Lanar Al Pi Darko. You have to teach each child according to his capability. You can't teach all the children in the same way. Many times you have big Rabban and big Talmid Chachamim who don't realize this. They think that just like they say Ashir and Yeshiva on the highest level, they say Atufu and Amashah and Amaram Shif, whatever, Asher Ram. So they think that they're going to raise their children also the same way. Maybe they'll succeed in one or two of the children, but not necessarily. Maybe they'll succeed in all, but not necessarily so. You have to be mechanic each child differently. So the Baal HaGadah speaks about how you're supposed to relate to Chinuch HaBan. It says, Kenegel HaBan, do the first. There are four different, the Chumash speaks about the four different children. So you have to give Chinuch to the children in different ways. Some people feel, even if the child is a Rosh HaMarusha, that they shouldn't be Merachik the child. Even if he's a Marida, the son married a Shikzir, you still have to keep tight. So the Baal HaGadah says, that's not good. You have the son of Chalil HaRosha, you have to be Merachik him. You have to hit him over the head. Hakiyashinov, and you have to tell him about the Gilat Hashem, they leave it alone. You have to, even though you're your own child, you shouldn't invite him to the Haggadah, he's not a Shiksa or whatever, he's a Machal Shabbos or whatever. Unless you think that you stand a chance of being the carry him back to the Hashem and Mitzvah. But if you see you don't stand any chance at all, then the Baal HaGadah says, even though he's your own child, you have to be Merachikim. That's exactly what we learned from the Parsha of Ben Torah and Mor. The Gemara says Ben Torah and Mor one time it says, Lahoy Valayatulias. It's physically impossible to have a Parsha Ben Torah and Mor. Because the father and the mother should be the same height and the same age and the same tone voice and their so many different conditions. The Gemara says that it's physically impossible. So why in the world does the Torah write a Parsha Ben Torah and Mor? Rosh V'Kabal Klar. What do you mean Rosh V'Kabal Klar? So some say, Pashim Shach, you should learn the moral of the story, that is, even though the father and the mother love all of their children, but if they have a child who's a Ben Torah Mor, it's a mitzvah to bring him to the police, and to arrest him, and to put him in jail. Say, so if your child is a communist, and he's giving your wife or your husband is a communist, and he's giving all the secrets to the Russians, he used to be a tofu for years and years, after McCarthy investigations, he used to talk all the time on the radio, and the newspapers, on the television, everything. You know that your wife or your husband is giving all the secrets to the family, they should be master to the government and not. So the Torah says 100% you should master. You should try to escape them now. And after gatefish, then you have to master. That's exactly the moral of the lesson of the Torah Ben Torah Mor. So the Baal HaGadah tells us, you have to be Chanoch Lanai Al Pi Darko, each child differently. And some children, the Russia, if you see that he's a Russian Marusha, you can't do anything with them. So you have to pop them over the head. And the other children, you have to give chinuch on a different level. And even the any of their initial, some people have an attitude that they'll only tell over Torah to their children if the child asks. If the child doesn't ask, they're not going to tell. How's the child going to know to ask anything? How is he going to ask whether God exists? You're not going to tell. He's going to keep it a secret. If the kid asks, was there ever such a thing of his years and time, then I'll be happy to tell. If the kid doesn't ask, he won't give any information. So that's ridiculous. We believe that the Shani Yadeh Elishol is also stock law. In the Chinuch HaTorah, you have an obligation to give over the tradition, even if the child doesn't display any inquisitiveness and he doesn't display any interest at all. You have to transmit the Torah to everybody. Of course, Kolechet Tefi Madre Gotza. The Chachamim have to give more, and the time you give less. Any day, Elisha, he tried to whet his appetite because he's interested. It's interesting, the Chacham asked the question that sounds came out the same as the Rasha. All of you, Mepharshim Anna Haggadah, discussed it. The Rasha is to be condemned, Hakei Yashir, because he says, Moha Avodah Zot Lachem. Why do you keep all these mitzvahs out there? The Chacham asked the exact same question. Moha is, Akutsu Mishpatam Ashat Tziva Hashem Akeinu, Esten. But the Mepharshim asked, isn't it the same? So they give different explanations. So the Beit HaLevi has a famous comment that he says that the difference between the Chacham and the Rashi is that the Chacham speaks with Shem Shamayim Shoga B'Sid. He mentions the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam in Europe. The plain Balabatim always would mention the Shem Shamayim. I remember my grandmother, who was from Galicia, she would always say Van Heiligen Namen. Every other sentence was Van Heiligen Namen. She wouldn't say God, she wouldn't say the Ribbono Shel Olam. He would always say his holy name, the Helgenomen should do this, the Helgenomen is all the attention, whatever. Every other word was like, Hashem Shemayim Shogu B'Sihim. So that's the Chacham, even though he says, Ashatib Hashem Akeinu Efem, he says, what are the mitzvahs that Hashem commanded you? But he says, that Hashem commanded you. The Rosh doesn't mention Shem Hashem, just as Moha Vodah Zot Lachem. Since he doesn't mention Shem Shemayim, so he's giving away, he's implying that he doesn't believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's how the Beit HaLevi says. That's how a whole group of Mepharshim says. Others give a different interpretation, that the difference between the Chacham and the Rosh is different, that by the Chacham, who asks the question, Moho Eidus Achukim HaMishpatim, the passage before that, Mekumish says, V'hayik Yisholchot Binchom Mochor Leymar, if your son will ask you Mochor, the next day he'll ask, the day after he does the mitzvah, whereas the Rosh asks the question, take it from that, Moho Avodah Hazoyim, why are you doing the mitzvah now? The difference between the two being that the Chacham is willing to do the mitzvah even though he doesn't understand the reason. After he fulfills the mitzvah, then he wants to know what is the moral lesson to be learned, what is the religious principle, what is the ethical principle to be learned from the mitzvah, what's behind the mitzvah, what's the reason for the mitzvah. But the Rosh asks the time for the mitzvah before he's about to fulfill the mitzvah, he's implying that if he's not satisfied with the reason, he's not going to fulfill the mitzvah. So that's rishis, that's not right. That's the whole idea of Kabbalah from Amach HaShamayim, that we have to, right, not the Mishnah, you have to fulfill the mitzvahs even if you don't understand what they're all about, provided that you know that you got it straight. If you're not sure what you're supposed to do, then you have to ask first, what am I supposed to do? But once you know what the obligation is, and once you have, let's say, a rough fasting or shayla, the din is that it's mutter, or the din is that it's sasa, whatever the din is. Whatever the din is, you have to follow. So you have a right to ask, maybe you made a mistake, and you should argue the point, but once you're clear that the Chacham knows what the facts are, and he thinks that he knows what the din is, then you have to listen to his tzak, even if you think that he's wrong. If he's your Chacham, if he's your rabbi, then you have to be mekabel his tzak, just like you have to be mekabel the din from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though we don't really understand many times what they're all about, you have to do the din, even if you don't understand the time. You have to be mekabel the tzak of the Chacham and also. That's in fact why the Chacham asks the question, Moho Eres Achukam Mishpatam Ashatib Hashem Alkein Le'etem. What are the dinim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded the Jewish people? So we don't tell them the dinim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. We tell them the dinim that the Chachamim instituted. We tell them, Ein Asir Nachat Pesach HaTikvayim. Kedei Sheyei Tam Matzah B'Sit. Kedei Sheyei Tam Pesach B'Sit. That's not a din deraisa. That's only a din derabbanan. If the child asks, what are the dinim deraisa? So we tell them the dinim derabbanan, because the dinim derabbanan are also dinim deraisa. Some of us have the gears that we teach him everything as Ein Asir Nachat Pesach HaTikvayim. That's the last Mishnah. Next to the last Mishnah in Sodom, teach him all of the Mishnais and Abish Sochim up until the very best. And others say, no, not us. You have the Girsa. We teach him, we tell him the Dinim de Rabbanon. If he's asking, what are the Dinim Hatur? So we can tell him Dinim de Rabbanon. Dinim de Rabbanon are also the Dinim Hatur. They're included in the Dinim Hatur. There is an interesting comment that the Sukhono has in his Biur on Chumash, the Shelos HaRosha. The Rosha asks, Moha Veda Zayt Vachem. So the Sfarno interprets the Pshat as follows, Lachem, meaning, why does everybody have to bring his own Korban Pesach? Kol Yochid V'Yochid has to bring a Korban Pesach, and either Kazayis, why not have the whole Kol Yisrael bring one Korban Pesach, like you have a Korban Tomid, like you have a Korban Tam Nisafim? So the Kol, the whole Sefer brings one Korban, so why shouldn't Kol Yisrael bring one Korban Pesach? So the answer is given to him, the Sfarno explains in the following Sukkim, we don't have those Sukkim in our Haggadah quoted over here. The Sfarno interprets the Sukkim to mean, that the Nes Mitzrayim was not a Nes that was done to the Jewish nation as a nation. It was done to each and every individual Jew. Those in Florida, the carbon tests have to demonstrate that they don't believe in the Kaaba's Islam, they don't believe in the Niqab al-Zahra. The Egyptians used to worship the calf. So those who Florida, the carbon tests have to exert the Dam Hashem, the Ghost, the Allah Mashko. So it's the part of Hashem Allah Tempah. That's why it's both who didn't cause Makkah's Khurra to occur in their home. Those who didn't believe and those who didn't bring the carbon tests, so the Magesa did occur and people did buy. There was Makkah's Khurra in their home. Since the nest of Makkah's Khurra wasn't the nest solely for the whole Jewish nation, the Russian says only 1/5 went out. 4/5 of the Jewish people died because they were assured. 80% were not Zoycha to the Gula, only 20% were Orthodox. 25%. 20% were Orthodox. Or observant, however you want to place it, yes. However you want to word it. So in other words, the people who didn't believe Tzadik didn't happen. That's why we tell the Russian, leave alone, Elo Hayashem lo hayaniga. Why do you say Elo Hayashem lo hayaniga? Because those who weren't Mamilim, those who didn't fulfill the mitzvah, they didn't have the Kusa Tessa, they didn't have the Kusa Mila, Tzadik didn't have the Gula. And they stayed behind. They were the 80% who died in Mitzrayim. Only the 20% who were Mamilim left Mitzrayim because the Nisim occurred on an individual level, not on a Tzibudika level. And that's what the Mephoshim points out. The Mishnah says in Sochim, hold over there, fire bottom mirror, start from Tzibu Hu Yotzim and Mitzrayim. Everyone, every year, has to have the feeling as if he left Mitzrayim. But Tzibu Hanach, the only reason why we have the obligation to recite the Halal on Pesach night is because Chai Baram Eretz Yisrael from Kilu Hu Yatsim Yisrael. They had the temptation as if we left Mitzrayim. If this mess would have only occurred to our forefathers, then we wouldn't have recited the Halal. We wouldn't have recited the Bracha Asher B'Yalon on Pesach night, because the Gemara says in Brachas that if a mess happens to one of my ancestors and he almost died and he was Nikdal, so he says Bracha to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bracha Taidoya and his children and his grandchildren, but only up until the third generation. Past the third generation, you don't say the Birchas HaZos. So, Mefarshim Nisqa and Maharam Chalavah, that's very difficult. The Gemara says here in Brachas, in the last paragraph in Brachas, that limitation, that restriction, that the say the Bracha Shalos Nisim Adetein. Say the Bracha Purim Shalos Nisim Adetein. So we're not the second generation, we're not the third generation. We're way many, many, many generations later. We still continue to recite the Bracha. So Manish Tana Pesach night, why can't you say the Bracha, the Birchas Tanez on Pesach night, even if it's not our son of Hark Mishon? Why does Mishnah say, Chai Baram Mirus Asad Kinkinu, who Yotzim in Mitzrayim have to have the feeling as if we left Mitzrayim, the Sikha Chanach Nechayad Melodes, that's why we say the Birchas Haidoya. On Chanukah Purim, you don't have the sensation that the Nes occurred to us. And we're not the second or the third generation, we're many generations down the line, and we still recite the Bracha. So the Mefarshim explained that that's exactly the difference, like the Sfana says. Because on Chanukah and Purim, it's the nest that occurs to the Jewish nation as a whole, as a people. Now, Shenikah on Pesach night, the nest of the Geula was Liba Lo Lo, Ilo Hashem Lo Hayanigo. It was a nest that occurred to each and every individual person. So that's why the Sfana explains, that's why we say, Raha Benedet Rachem. The Rosh asks, why does everybody have to bring a carbon Pesach to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Pesach means Pesach HaBati Aviteinu, it's like a carbon Haidoya, let the whole following throw, buy a carbon Pesach from the Machta Shekel money, like the Tzmidim on the Sofim, it's why you should bring the carbon Pesach, on Eretz Pesach, Eretz HaKadosh. The answer is no. This Nes that we see, it's Mitzrayim, of Machta's Chorit, the Pesach HaShem Allah Pesach, was not a Nes that occurred to the Tzibah, this was a Nes that occurred to each and every individual Yachid. And that's why the Yechidim, each person has to celebrate the Nes himself. And that's why we say those who were Rishayim would not have participated in the Nes. Leave alone low. Those who didn't believe, those who wouldn't fulfill the mitzvah of Dam Milo and Dam Pesach, Allah Mashkov, wouldn't have been Nigal. So that's why we recite the halal on Pesach night, because Yosana Hotzim Yisham, and not because we're not because it was an effort occurred to call Yisro. The Taka was not an effort occurred to the call Yisro. That's what it would appear to be from the Haggadah itself. Then the Haggadah points out that the Yochel Me'er Shchedesh, a quotation from the Mechilta, that the Mitzvah secrecy is enshrined, can only be fulfilled by Laila. Yochel Me'er Yom Tam Alayim Ba'avizah, only by Laila. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, that one should not begin to recite the Kiddush until it's definitely Pesach Tuchav. Even if you happen to daven Maariv a little early in Shul, you should make sure you don't begin the Kiddush on Pesach night till after Pesach. Not so by the time you walk home, the Talmud said, where are you going to be Pesach Tuchav? Pesach Tuchav is not so much, not Chatzeit HaLayim, not so late. It's interesting in the Shulchan Aruch, I'm more right to Minig, that on Shabbat HaGadol, the Minig was that you recite the Haggadah from Avodah Mayinu till halfway through the Haggadah, more than halfway through the Haggadah. And there's only going to tax the Ramah, he says that it's wrong. Because it says exclusively, Yochum Erash Chedesh Tam Alayim Ba'yom Ahu Iba'yom Ahu Yochum Ba'yom Ahu, it's wrong. So how did he see that it's wrong? The Ramah is not saying a din that you must recite the Haggadah, he's saying a Minig. He's not saying a din, it's not a din in our Torah, it's not a din in Rabbanah. He says it's a Minig that developed by the Ashkenazim in Europe, in this part, Eastern Europe, that he recites the Haggadah, Shabbat Shalom, to prepare in advance. So how does the Vilna Gaon come off and he says that it's wrong? How can you say the Minig is wrong? It just says the Haggadah, you're not obligated to recite the Haggadah earlier than Pesach night, but where does it say that it's forbidden? So many say that the Vilna Gaon probably understood this Mechilta, this Brisa from the Mechilta, the same way that Sam Sofer understands. Sam Sofer in his Drosha Sam Chumash, I'm giving a Parsha of Tzav, understands this to mean that it's not proper. Not that you're not obligated to recite the Haggadah earlier, but it's rather, whenever you're not obligated to, that it's improper to recite the Haggadah earlier, because you're going to take away from the surprise element of the story. You want that the story should be chadosh in the NF, you want that it should be something new, that the children already know, my children already know this year, Kash is not one of in the whole, they know the whole Nusach in their sleep, so when it comes to Pesach night, it's anticlimactic already. So that's what it's not supposed to be like. The children are not supposed to know the story in advance. It's supposed to come, they'll test us, they'll say there, and here then, for the first time, and to be surprised, their eyes are supposed to open. Oh! That's what happened. That's what you see from time to time. That's what Matthew is. That's what Mora is. That's what Hesed is. But if they already know everything, so you're taking away from the excitement that's supposed to be on Pesach night. So that's what some claim, that that's the kavanah of the Vilna Gaon. When he says that the Ramah's meaning is an improper meaning, because he says, Yochum Erash Chedesh, some claim that he understood Yochum Erash Chedesh to mean, Yochum, there should be an obligation to recite the simple pshat means. One might think that since the entire Chodesh Nisan was singled out by the Torah, as a Chodesh Zevachan Rosh Chodesh, as a Chodesh Abuhula, the Nisan Nigalu, the Nisan Atidim Lehigoyal, so one would have thought that starting from a Chodesh Nisan is the very Zizman of the Yitzhak and Strike. In a certain sense, this is the Chodesh Abuhula. So I'm allowing my note. Yochum Abod Yom Lady at the time of Shchitas HaPesach, and Erech Pesach Etzach HaTzoyt, that's already Zizman of the Mitzvah, Talmud Lai Manoch, Balazah, only Bishoa, only Balayla. So the simple reading of the Brisa is that the Chiyuv doesn't begin until then. So there's only Goyim and the Sam Sofer seems to learn more than that. Whenever the Chiyuv doesn't begin, then you shouldn't stop place in advance to say the story with Tzias and Tzoyt. You should wait till you have the Chiyuv so that when you tell a story on Lel Pesach, it should be with great excitement and it should make a great oration among the children. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we give a bracha to Hashem Yisbarach, Baruch Shema Haftachot of Yisrael Baruch Hu, that He kept His Haftach. And then we lift up the Bech and we say, V'hi Sham Del Abaseinu. So the simple pshat, V'hi Sham Del Abaseinu V'lanu, is referring to the Haftacha that we began in the previous paragraph. Baruch Shema Haftachotzei. Hashem kept His promise, and we say, V'hi Haftacha is Lashon HaKeh. But that promise that He gave the Jewish people, Sham Del Abaseinu V'lanu, that's what kept the Jewish people going all these years, because as the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, that L'chus Dovid has a limit. Let's say I went to the yeshiva with a certain fellow, and his son is now in the yeshiva now, and he's not such a good Talmud. It gives me a lot of trouble. So because I was a roommate of his, because he was a friend of mine, because he's a nice guy, whatever, so I give his son a break. That's chutzav. And then when his grandson comes to the yeshiva, another 25 years, and his grandson is going to be worse than the son, let's say, so I'll give him a break also. When his great-grandson is going to come to the yeshiva, another 25 years after that, how far does it go, this chutzav? So the Gemara says that chutzav has a limit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and in the Zchus of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, He gives their descendants a break, even if they don't really deserve it. But the Zchus of has a limit. It doesn't go for thousands and thousands of years. So why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu still continue to give us a break? Arayam Amzeh. So the Gemara says, because even though Zchus of Tamo, it ended, to Shem, to end it, nevertheless, Brit Tava is life almost. The bris, the preaching bris means I'll hope on it. That's what a bris means. A bris means a promise that come what may, whether your descendants will deserve it or not, a shvua. And a bris means I'll hope on it. The Ramban writes on Chumash. I'll put upon them whatever will happen, whether they will deserve it or not, I promise that I'll always give them a break. So that's what we say. Baruch Shem HaTachos of Yisrael Baruch Hu HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps his HaTachos. And the Hisham the Lord is saying of Elonis, because of that HaTachos, that bridge, and that Shavua, that we are still around today, that if it were only for the Kuz Tavis, this Kuz Tavis already wore off a long time ago. But because of the bridge Tavis, that's the HaTachos, that's why the Jewish people are still around to speak about.
We also caused the problem in Israel.
Another point, okay, it's a different point, but all of the anti-Semitism that we have, perhaps generations, many generations have come where we really didn't deserve to be feared.
The only reason that we have anybody speaking on us is because we are assimilated.
Okay, maybe that's part of the bridge. Okay. That's only a minute. Picking up the cup of wine is only a minute. Then we have another minute. Whenever you pick up the wine, they cover over the matzah. The matzah should really be exposed the whole time, that you should have the CPS Islamic connection with one of the mitzvahs alayla. I mentioned last week that the Zman HaMikdash in the Sikh says they didn't have yachat. They didn't start with matzah and say holach ma'anya. The Rambam said holach ma'anya is Aramaic. So obviously that was introduced in Bavel. The Zman HaMikdash, before they went into Bavel, they didn't have to have any matzah. They had the carbon person on the table. And the Shoshi H. Korn Pesach, Munoch HaFanacha, that's why I was there. But after the Chuvim Beis HaMikdash, there's no longer any Korn Pesach, then you have to have Lechem Oni, you have to have some Mitzvah on the table, and Marer of Mitzvah is only with the Rabbanon. Marer is only a Mitzvah on the table in conjunction with Korn Pesach. So the only Mitzvah on the table we have today is the Matzah on the Pesach. So you have to put the Matzah right up front, right before you begin, so you break the Matzah to make it into a Lechem Oni. Madarka Shaloni B'Kru, so you break the Matzah, Yachat. And then you declare, Holach Manya, this is the Lechem Oni, and that enables me to recite the Haggadah. So we have, because we recite the Haggadah over the Matzah, so we have another meaning that whenever we pick up the Shechar, then we cover over the Matzah. Because the Matzah is really more chashuv than the wine. If it were Bizman HaMikdash, and it wouldn't be Matzah, it would be Korban Pesach, then you wouldn't have to cover anything else. You can pick up the wine from today till next year. And the flesh wouldn't feel embarrassed, because the Yayin is always more chashuv. And Brachas Yayin is always more chashuv than Bosa. But Yayin is not as chashuv as Pas. So if you're picking up the wine, then you're supposed to cover over the tash, or the yirabashot. That's the news. So we show in the comments on the nusach that we say in the Haggadah, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Tishir is HaKeit La'adoz, we show in the point that the word Keit is the gematria of 190, Kuf Tzarek, that originally HaKodesh Baruch Hu said that the goal of Mitzrayim would be 400 years, Arvin Le'ashonah, and then the Mitzrayim, it was only reduced, it was only 210 years. So what happened to the missing 190 years? So the Midrashim is that question. So there are two different answers given by the Medrash. One answer given by the Medrash is that starting from the day that Yitzchak was born, Eretz Yisrael didn't yet belong to, Avraham Avinu didn't yet have the complete Chutzim to Eretz Yisrael. It belonged to him, but he didn't have the King of Peretz yet. The Nachrim, the Umma Salem, who were there, still retained the King of Peretz. So from the time of Leda Yitzchak, the Brit Ben Achson began to be fulfilled that Yer Yer Zarach, Beretz Wolahem, Yitzchak was there, Avraham, and he was there, it's going to in a certain sense, Eretz Yisrael, although it already did belong to Avraham Avinu, but it didn't fully belong to Avraham Avinu. So that answer is given by one marriage, that from the time of Leda Yitzchak till the time, there were a full 400 years. Rashi quotes that. Then there's another marriage that Rashi HaKomish does not quote. Another marriage says that the Shibur really should have been for 400 years, and Mitzrayim should have worked to a certain degree, but the Mitzrayim made it work ahead of. So the Koshi HaShibur was Mashlim. They worked in 210 years so hard, as much as the Rebbeinu Shlom, they worked overtime. So they worked as much as the Rebbeinu Shlom really meant them to work for 400 years. So the Bris Gerav pointed out that these are not really two different terutzim. On a kasha, you can either say one teretz, the other Shlom, you can say another teretz. You need the both terutzim to be mashlim in the kasha, because it says in the Bris Ben Hapsorim, Yadoa teidah ki gear yeh zarach ha-beretz. Lo-lo-ha, we mention it, you should know, your descendants will be Gerim and Eretz Lolahem for 400 years. And then it also says, but they will suffer for 400 years. So these are two different kashas. How come they were only in the Mitzrayim for 210 years? What about the Golos for 400 years? And how come they were only working for 210 years? They should have been working for 400 years. So these two answers answer two different kashas. The one answer explains that from the time of Leda Yitzchak, Yitzchak and Mitzrayim, was the full pharmacies of Gilead, Arach, Eretz Lanaim, and the Koshi Hashibu, they worked so hard, that's why they worked in 210 years, the amount of work that they would have done in a full 400 years, that they would have only made them work decently. So they say in the name of the Dizkirov, that this is a very complicated judgment, that these two Cheshbonis that are running simultaneously should end at the same time. That the Koshi Hashibu should turn out to be 400 years worth of Malacha, boom, exactly at the time that the 400 years end from the time of Leda Tizkirov, it's quite a stunt that you have to have a barometer to be able to measure that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the ability to measure it. And he thought with that the Mitzrayim wouldn't be Meshabed, the Jewish people, more than 400 years worth. In fact, the Shibud ended a year before Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the Sefer says that the Esa Nachas took a whole Yud-Beis Chodesh, a whole year. Mishpat, he says that the maximum punishment that anybody ever gets is 12 months. Mishpat Rishon B'Gehenim is Yud-Beis Chodesh. The maximum punishment that any Russia gets if he goes to Gehenim, it's 12 months. Probably anybody's stuff is so long, but the maximum he gets is 12 months. So it says that the Mitzrayim, that the Sefer says in Sefer, the Mitzrayim stuff is the maximum. That the Esa Makas that they had was stretched out over the course of a full year's time. And already from the beginning of the last year, before you see it inside, the last year the Jews already were parted from the Shiva. They didn't have to do any work. So the 400 years of, from the time of Leda Tizkok, of Yehiyah, Zarach, Beres, Olahem, that was only ended at the end of that year. And the Kosh HaShibu caused the 209 years, was it 209 years, to be equivalent of 400 years of normal work the year before. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chishev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his keeping the record, worked out the calculations, and he declared that his, that what he said by the Brisker Rav Tzion, that there's going to be 400 years of Shibud, 400 years of Avdus, but everything, 400 years of Galus, that both were already fulfilled at the same time. Simultaneously. Yes. Rashi explained that the 30 additional years was 30 years before Leda Tizkok was this Bris Ben Hatzor. So Rishonim points out that the lashon of the pasuk, the Gamas Agoy Asher Yavoidu Don Onochi, is a little unusual. It really should say Gamas Agoy Asher Yavoidu Odun Onochi. I will judge them. That the Yisrim who will cause the Jews to suffer, I will judge them. Why does it say Don Onochi? So the Rishonim speak about this. The Rishonim said over a Medrash, I think we must have mentioned on different occasions, the Medrash says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging in a court case between Bnei Yisrael and Umat Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu first served as the Baldin, the Tainam Bihef of the Jewish people. Then he turns around and he serves as the Shofar, as the dying to judge the case. And then he will serve also as the Shofar to implement the punishment. In case the Umat Olam are not willing to accept the punishment upon themselves, so then he will force them to suffer the punishment, whatever punishment they deserve. But first, Medrash says HaKadosh Baruch Hu will serve as the Baldin to sign on behalf of the Jewish people. So that's what Rashi actually said in the literal translation. The Gamas Avoy, Asher Yavoy, the Don Onechi, like you say a Hebrew expression, Hayadon Keneged Chaveiro. When you have two people arguing out a case, so the Baldin, one of the two Baladinim, argues out the case. He's Don Keneged Chaveiro. The shofet is not done. The shofet should say, Odun, I will be the dying. Don sounds like I will argue out the case. I will argue out the case on behalf of the Jewish people against the Mitzrayim. The Rishonim points out. Right. In Alanikim, we say three expressions. Rapha Shrivan, Riva Kodesh Bohu, Tainan on behalf of the Jewish people, Dantel Zinim, he judged the case. Then the Kamtas Sikmas, and he served as the shofar to implement the punishment. Three different aspects. It's important in these times that we should explain to our children what we mean when we say in the Haggadah, Vayoga Sham, Loshen Gevus, Melamed, Shalayar, Yankov Vinu, Hishtakev, and Sain, Malaloga Sham. Yankov Vinu didn't Chalila decide to leave Eretz Yisrael and to live in Golis permanently. He only wanted to live there temporarily. We have to, it sounds a little strange, a little hypocritical. We're going to explain to our children that we're only here temporarily in America. But we have to, first we have to convince ourselves that it's something. That we have to keep in mind that we really belong, all of us really belong in Eretz Yisrael. If a person can't find a parnassus, so then he has, then he's not mukhif to go live in Eretz Yisrael. Then he can live in Eretz Yisrael. But really, we don't belong here. And what we're doing here is only temporarily. It's only lo gashem, only of a temporary nature. That's what we say in our brother. The Jewish people really don't belong in Eretz Yisrael. We have to also stress to our children and to ourselves, the Pasuk says, we darsh in the Pasuk and around the Abu Dhabi, What does the word legoi mean? Malam shal yitom mitzuyanam shal? In Europe, they used to joke, they used to say that the Zionists were not religious at all. They were goyim, they were goyim. Ayisham legoi, it's not even seen it. Malam shal yitom mitzuyanam shal, it's not even seen it. But what is the simple shot? The Mishnah says in Sotan, you have to darshan Arami Yavad Abi.
Why
that? That's a good question. That's a good question. This is Mikri Kur. This is the parasha Mikri Kur. So, but that's the question. Why Arami Yavad Abi? Why not Kishmot Ve'er Bar Bishal? That's the question. I suggest that perhaps based on the Rabbeinu Yoinen, in the first parak in Brochus, it says in the Gemara in Gittin, that Samach says, you're not permitted to recite Torah Shabbistah Balteh. You're not permitted to recite anything from the Tanakh Balteh. So the question is, how do you recite Kriyashma Balteh? So the Rabbeinu Yoinen says, no, that's a fault. It says, the Barta Bom. So the Torah says, that parasha you have to recite. So whenever you have a parasha that you mechuyav now, there to recite, you're permitted to recite it Balteh. And then he says, and even if you're reciting Kriyashma Alamito, you're ready where you're to Kriyashma. You daven Ma'ariv and Shul, you're ready where you're to Kriyashma. And now you're saying Kriyashma Alamito before you go to sleep. Even though it's not for the purpose of fulfilling Kriyashma, that parasha was already exempted from the prohibition of Zom Shebichtav, being forbidden to be recited about that. But then he gives another example and he says the Parshas HaKarbanos. And since we have a din, that whoever recites the Parshas HaKarbanos is considered, it's a din atur, it's considered as if he had brought the Karbanos, his man shayim et amigdash kayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu that the schus HaKarbanos, we have the right to maintain Eretz Yisrael. And his man said, you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, what about now? We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. He said, what right do the Jews have to maintain Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara says in the end of Megillah, Kodesh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, have your descendants recite the Parshas HaKarbanos, Amala mi aleihem kilu hi krivi. I will consider it as if your descendants had offered the Karbanos, and therefore they still maintain the right to have Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbeinu Yoinen says, you're permitted to recite Parshas HaKarbanos and Parshas HaKteres, also about there, because that's a mitzvah min atar to recite every day, the Parshas HaKarbanos. And even if you're reciting it a second time in the day, once that Parsha was singled out as a Parsha that may be sometimes recited, it's about there, so there's a chiv to recite it, and then you can always recite it about there. And then he gives us another marshal, he says, Arami Yogarovi. So since sometimes when you bring the Kurim, you have to recite that Parsha after that Nusach Arami Yogarovi. So even if you're not bringing the Kurim, you can always recite that Parsha Arami Yogarovi about there. So I suggest that maybe that's the reason why the Tanaim chose Arami Yogarovi, because the Shmos Ve'er above B'Shalach, that's all punished. So you're going to require of every Balabas that he should take a Sefer Torah and start reading from the Sefer Torah. He's going to get it all full of wine. All the Haggadahs are full of wine, full of matzah crumbs, full of Korban Pesach, whatever. So you're going to take a Sefer Torah and start laying. So I love it that you can recite a Parsha Balteh. If it's required, you can say Kriyashma Balteh, and you can say Parsha Satan Balteh. That's because that Parsha was singled out by the Halacha, but over here, the Torah didn't single out any Parsha. So how do you know how you fulfill the mitzvah of Tzipi Tzitzis HaMat Pesach, right? So the Chachamim wanted to pick a parasha which they knew was mutter to recite Balteh, namely Parasha Tzaram Yavarovi, because since sometimes you're obligated to recite those, that parasha deducted for the purpose of Mikra Bikurim, the Rabbeinu Yoinen says it's always permissible to recite that parasha Balteh. That parasha was exempted from this prohibition. That's a minig. That's a minig to recite those times. That's not even a din of the Rabbanim. Not everybody has ever done minig either. So it's not really a problem. That's a minig. That's why there's a shayla on Tisha B'Av afternoon when he put on the sermon whether you should recite the Parshiyos or not, because on Tisha B'Av it's forbidden to recite anything from the Torah. So the shayla is, since you're not really obligated to recite the four Parshiyos, but Shema B'Av and Shema Kadosh B'Av to be asked. It's only a minig, so maybe you should forgo the minig on Tisha B'Av because of the Yisra of Talmud Torah. So the Mishnah Berurah says you shouldn't. You should not recite the Parshiyos on Tisha B'Av afternoon when you put on the song. Most people don't study the Mishnah Berurah because you're not allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. This is Tisha B'Av you
lay. You learn both
times? Yeah, you lay, you recite Kriya Shema, you say Sukkotazim, it's a lot of Sukkot. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, whatever, say that Yoyim doesn't get people excited. So there's no prohibition upon the Torah. Not in the sense they're happy. The prohibition against learning Torah for an Ovel, or for Tisha B'Av is because the Kuli Hashem Shor Nisam Chelei. It makes people very, very happy. So if it says in the Shulchan Aruch, whatever it says, yeah, you don't get so happy. You get so excited in the sense of Emunah. But it doesn't get us excited in the sense of joy, like saying a Nishti Kutar that we didn't hear before. So the simple Pshat here, Vayisham Megoy, Malam Shor Yisom, Mitzuyonam Shom, has nothing to do with the Zionist movement or anything, the fact that they were happy Christians. The simple Pshat is that the Jewish people separated themselves. They were Mitzuyonim, they were separate from the Ibumah Sa'ilam. That they didn't blend in with the Nachrim. And the Gemara says, the Medrash says, that Shloshim Shmam L'Shayna Malbusham. that they were very, very separate from the human asylum. And the Meshech Chachma, Rav Meir Simcha, points out that these nationalistic mitzvahs that separate the Jewish people from the human asylum are more important when you live in Golis than when you live in Eretz Yisrael. When you live in Eretz Yisrael, the important mitzvahs are Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayis, and Shlichas Damim, and all those Averis, and Shiloh HaVadim, and Shmitah. It says in all of the Nevi'im, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending the Jewish people into Golis. It doesn't say because they didn't speak Yivrit. It doesn't say because they had their Goyish name. It doesn't say because they wore Goyish clothing. They did that too. That those are not the big Averis in Eretz Yisrael. When you live in Golis, and there's a Hashash of assimilation, that's not a Hashash, a real Hashash of assimilation. So it's more important to observe, to start with, more important to observe these nationalistic mitzvahs that will keep, that will maintain our identity as a separate nation. So that's what the Pasuk stresses. By Isham the Goy, that living in Mitzrayim, the Jewish people were very different. They dressed differently. They were Mitzrayim. Wherever they would walk, everybody would think that that person is a Jew. He dressed differently, and he spoke differently, and he ate differently, and everything was very different. Shalashim Ishmam L'Shalem Al-Bushim. We have to tell us our children, we have to do it ourselves. We still live in love with them. We have to do everything different. The Baal HaGadol Darshan is on the Pasuk, he doesn't say Pasuk Shav. He's giving interpretation, Torah Shel Alpeh interpretation. So he Darshan is on the Pasuk, Vayareyu Esona HaMitzrim, Vayamunu, Vayareyu Esona Kmosha Nama, Havin Eschak Molopem, Yebego Hayoki, Tishrani Molchoma, etc. So what is this Pasuk explaining in Vayareyu Esona HaMitzrim? So I'll go back to say over what the Maisa Nisim, what the Nesivis quotes from the Rishonim, I think from the Abai Manel, or others on this comment. If it would have written in the Chumash by Areyu Lanu HaMitzrim, it would have the meaning of that the Mitzrim was mean to us. That they were very, they caused us to suffer a lot. But it doesn't say by Areyu Lanu, that they were mean to us. It says by Areyu Oysanu. So it means that they said that we were bad. Like that. They say the Jews are not loyal to the United States government, and say that the Jews are not decent, and they're not humane, and they're not this, and that the shechita that we practice is inhumane, and that we discriminate against the women, and everything the Jewish religion does, from Sheshet Nevi'im, we discriminate against the non-Jews, and we're mean to animals, and we're mean to the women, and we're mean to everybody. The Jews are mean to everybody. So that's mamish, the anti-Semitism that's been going on from the days of Messiah. By Yerayu Arsono HaMitzvim, that's an extreme, are attacking us, that we are terrible people. As it says in the Pasuk, we better do something about these Jewish people because they are our enemies and they are going to join with the enemies and they are going to overturn the government. We're in the world that we are going to overthrow the government in Mitzrayim. Amirabi Yosef was the prime minister. He was the one who gave power the whole Shemitah over the whole land. It was his Chokhmah and his Tikkun, who gave the whole, all of the taxes and everything, because of throwing away all the food and so on. So why should they think that the Jews are going to revolt against the government? But in my sister, that's what the Pasuk says, Vayareyu Esono HaMitzrim, as a Yom HaSoron, always attack the Jewish people. The story is that in our generation, as in many, many generations before, the Jews believe it. We read all the anti-Semitic literature, and we fall for their brother my sister. We believe it, really, that we really discriminate against the women. We have to start changing all the Dina HaTorah. We really discriminate against the non-Jews. So we have to change all the laws as far as the non-Jews. We really are unfair to the animals. We have to change the method of shechitah. We have to have humane slaughter bills and so on. These are always getracht mindsets from the anti-Semite. That's the way it always was. Then the Baal HaGadol Darshan is on the Pasuk, Anitzak al Hashem alakei avoseinu, k'moshe nemar. And we cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it says in the Pasuk, and what is it saying in the Pasuk? Vahi bayomim harabim hahen, bayomis melech mitzrayim. And the king of Egypt died. They were correcting from the difficult work. They were complaining from the work. So the Ramban on that Chumash, the Ramban on Chumash on that Pasuk in Shmos explained that the Bnei Yisrael really were not in a mood to daven at all. They were so far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were not davening. The Pasuk just says they were correcting and complaining from the difficult work. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his kindness, considered the correction that they had expressed as if they had davened. So that's what the Baal HaGadol is explaining. Vanitzak al Hashem al Akei Avoseinu is not exactly so. We really didn't daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's rather to Moshe Nehmer, as the Pasuk says, that we were correcting, and Hashem, out of His Rachmanis, took our correction as if we were davening. It was because the Hashem that was considered as if we davened, even though we really didn't. A very difficult topic, I reckon you already know. Right, and the person discussed that also. Aren't you taking away from the story that he has been trying to say that Mitzrayim wasn't so bad? It was worse under love and harami. Because he said Mitzrayim wasn't so gewaldig. It wasn't so bad. They were only killing the boys. They weren't killing the girls. So they discussed that. What's the significance of bringing in this contrast between between love and Mitzrayim? It's a different interpretation than anybody else. No, but he's stressing the chol davar dor amdam alayna, like Ali was saying, that we're bringing out that thing. It's a different interpretation. Vayaris an yenu, zubrish is deracheret. Deracheret means when husbands are together with their own wives. That's what we call balosh and yakir, we call that deracheret. Zubrish is deracheret means that the Mitzrayim, the English translation says a disruption of family life. The Mitzrayim didn't allow the Jewish men to be together with their wives. And that's why the pasuk says, "Asher Hashem tachasatatoch haratzichet," had to go hide somewhere else to be together. And the pasuk, and how do you know that the Mitzrayim was so mean to the Jewish people that they prevented us from being together? The Moshe Nehemar, "Vayara Elokim es bnei Yisrael vayeda Elokim." What do you see from that pasuk? So it doesn't say what. It says "Vayara vayeda." It doesn't say what. So apparently, we assume that the lashon haTorah is the lashon Yekiel. We should all speak a Lashon Yekir like the Torah. We should all speak Lashon HaKadosh. I'm right to the Mar Rukhman that the reason why it's called Lashon HaKadosh is because Lashon Yekir with respect to these, it's a Lashon of Kniyah with respect to this area. That the Torah says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw some terrible thing by Yedelekin. And he knew that there was something terrible going on. It doesn't say what did he see and what did he know. What was so terrible? So the Torah felt that this area of human activity should not be so spoken of so explicitly. So that's why, and even the Baal HaGadah calls it preaches Deracheret. He doesn't spell out what it is. We should train ourselves also. We live in a generation with so much priestess is going on, so much evil terror. We should train ourselves in proper speech. One of the many sukkim that's quoted by the Baal HaGadah, in order to bring out a point is, "We are by to the earth and find Balayla Hazer, Ani Balay Malak, the Ketikol B'chor the earth and find," and so on, "V'chol Lahem Esfayim Esfayim and Ani Asher." So the Mekoshim point out, isn't that a design to the Shekhinah? The fact that Eretz Mitzrayim, that the Shekhinah, the Chvayda, the Yatsma is going to pass through Eretz Mitzrayim, which is more like Avodah Zarah, which is more like Yilulim. Like if you would have a king come to New York City, they would have to wash the streets first, you know, before they would allow him to go to the land. The streets are dirty. So here in Mitzrayim, maybe it was a clean, it wasn't dirty in the sense of filth like you have in New York. But they had churches on either side of the street. It's full of Avodah Zarah, Gilulim, Avodah Gilulim. That's why we call it Gilulim. It's like Rolo. So these pastors, how is that proper for the Shekhinah to march through Mitzrayim? Ani Hashem, Ani B'lo Hashem. He went through himself, he didn't send someone else. How is it proper for the book to go into Mitzrayim with all of the Gilulim? If Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed to daven in the middle of the city, he had to go outside, and he couldn't get any Nebu in the middle of the city because it's full of Avodah Zarah. So these pastors said the Shekhinah should go through the city. So the pasuk itself explains the answer to this question. It says, "Be'avar to Eretz Mitzrayim, v'chol v'hei Mitzrayim et hashvatim." The pasuk itself gives the answer that when the Shekhinah will pass through, all of the churches and all the other desires will melt away. The Medrash says they're not talking. But those that were metal melted right away when the Shekhinah passed through. Those that were from wood would go up in flames and so on. So it turned out that the Shekhinah was cleaning the streets as it was passing through Mitzrayim. So there wasn't a desire to the Shekhinah. The streets were clean from Avodah Zarah as the Shekhinah went through. Mishnah quotes the statement of Rabbi Amriel that on Pesach night, whoever doesn't explain the reason for Pesach Matzah Maror, Layot Yidei Haggadah, that's the most important part of the Haggadah. So the Mekarshim have two different shikas, the Rambam and the Ramban, Adam Aflakis, how to understand Layot Yidei Haggadah, what mitzvah is not Yotzeh. The Rambam says, the Pashup Shah, that he's not Yotzeh the mitzvah, speaking is Yotzeh and Shah. And on Pesach night, there's a mitzvah of Yigar to the Dincho, which can only be fulfilled by telling the story of the Tzivos Mitzrayim in the form of Tami HaMitzvah. You have to say, we fulfill, or we used to fulfill the mitzvah of Kodesh Pesach, we no longer have a Beis HaMikdash. We still fulfill the mitzvah of Matzah, we still fulfill the mitzvah of Mor. And the reason for this mitzvah is the Tzivos Mitzrayim, etc., etc. So you have to tell the story of the Tzivos Mitzrayim for the purpose of explaining the mitzvah of Halayim. As we said before, that's where the Haggadah begins, with the Mamash Tana, to mention the mitzvah of Halayim, and then to have Odom Hayinu to explain why we fulfill these mitzvahs in light of the story of the Tzivos Mitzrayim. The Ramban has a completely different shot than Layot Yedei Chavasai. The Ramban and Mohammed, Amsachim understands Layot Yedei Chavasai He's not yet the Kohen Petra. He's not yet the Master, he's not yet the Mor. He doesn't say he's not yet the Kohen Petra. So Ramban seems to hold that if you would just tell your children on Pesach night the story of Kohen Petra and not explain that that's why we eat Master, that's why we eat Mor, you would be yet the Kohen Petra. It doesn't necessarily have to be told over in the form of explanation of Mitzvah Salayim. That's what he thinks of. But he says, well, Yotze Yedech HaZot means that you're not Yotze the Mitzvah Pesach. That the Mitzvah of Korban Pesach is Shlei Mutzah. If you don't tell, you're not Yotze at all. How could that be? He says, no. You're not fully Yotze the Mitzvah Pesach, you're not fully Yotze the Mitzvah Matzah, you're not fully Yotze the Mitzvah Mor. That these Mitzvahs are for the purpose of Pirsumi Mitzvah, not Stama Mitzvah like your late Tzum, Zechel Anet. No, these are the five famous Anet. So unless you tell the story in conjunction with the mitzvah will not be fully the queen. Places points out on the Mishnah, the left cleric in Sofim, that the Medrash says that there were 10 shirot that appear in Tanakh. 9 of them were recited l'sha'ova, and the 10th on the occasions of various gulas, and the 10th shira will be recited l'asi lova on the occasion of the gula asina. And the Medrash draws a distinction between the 9 and the 1, that the shir that will be recited in Moed HaMashiach on the Gula Atida is referred to as the shir Chadash, Veloshin Zohar, as opposed to the 9 and the 10 that are referred to Veloshin Akeva as a shira. So here, Tosafot points out when we say the name Alephon of Shira Chadosho, what does that mean? Does it mean the name Alephon of, and we will recite in the future on the occasion of the Gula Atida, then you should just say Shira Chadosho, you should say the name Alephon of Shira Chadosh. And if you say Shira Chadosh, then you really should say the Ne'emar Lefonah. That at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Otzionim Yatzus Lecheirus, and at that time, the Ne'emar Lefonah, Shira Chadosh was recited at that time. But the Nusach that we say, the Ne'emar Lefonah, and we will say Shira Chadosh, that's a problematic Nusach, it's an androgynous. You're saying the Ne'emar Lefonah, and we will say, and then you say Shira Chadosh instead of saying Shira Chadosh. But that's what's in the Shulchan Aruch, what's in the Shulchan Aruch, that you have to choose. You either say, in the future, the Neymar, and you say Shir Chadosh, or you say the Neymar, and you say Shira Chadosh. And they say the name of the Biskarov, that he pointed out that our uses is to be understood very well. So we're neither referring to the fact that B'nai Yisrael recited the Shira on the occasion of the Tzitzis Shas, nor are we referring to the Shir Chadosh that will be recited Lasi Lovoi on the occasion of the Gula Atida. You just have to read the whole paragraph, like the Ma'am Chalav explains on this Mishnah. Everyone has to feel as if he just left his shrine tonight. The Sichach, therefore, Anat Mechayav Lahodus, we have an obligation to recite Hallel tonight. And therefore, because Hallel Vishatana, he just left his shrine. So therefore, V'nai Malachon of Shira Chadosh, right now, we're not referring to V'nai Malachon of, and we will recite Ashir Limot HaMashiach. We're saying, therefore, we're not saying that we have recited the Shira, had him recited at the time of his Tishin time. He's saying we will now recite the Shira Chadosh of Hallel, Hallel the Shah Tanakh, the Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Mishnah Berurah has a time against the reciting of Zechel HaMikdash Kehillah. He says that in the Shulchan Aruch, it says that when you say the bracha on the morrow, you're not permitted to be mastic, you're not allowed to talk until after you eat the Korach. Because the bracha on the morrow refers both to the morrow, the Megazayis that eat by the morrow, and the Kazayis of Mara that you eat during the Korach. In fact, you're not supposed to talk after reciting of the bracha al achilas matzah and the eating of the Korach. You're not going to talk in between the matzah and the Mara either, unnecessarily, because the bracha of al achilas matzah relates to the Korach as well. So the Mishnah Berurah has a taina that how does the Shulchan Aruch come off to, how does it say in the Haggadah that you recite Zechel HaMikdash Kehillah? He says he thinks that it's a mistake. He thinks that these are tiny letters, and these are the instructions. He should eat Korach, Zechel HaMikdash Kehillah. This is what he'll say. But it's not part of the Nusach HaGadah. He doesn't think that he's supposed to say. But that's why some people on the back page, because they're nervous about the Mishnah Berurah's taina, so they say the Zechel HaMikdash Kehillah, but it is printed in big letters. And they say after they finish swallowing the whole Korach, then they say the Zechel HaMikdash Kehillah. Rav Chaim Volozhin has taina against reciting Shir HaMalos before the benches. All year long, not just on Pesach night. Because just like he came up with these two chidushim. There's a chachamim on Mitzakin that you should recite the Birchas HaMazon in a specific nusach. When I tell you, you can recite the Birchas HaMazon in any nusach you choose. But with the Rabbana, they compose the nusach, you have to say their nusach. So if someone wants to chapoyis and say Tzumish Aloy Achalno, which is an abridged form of the entire Birchas HaMazon before he benches, say dear to the benching Minatoris. So he says that they want to recite Tzumish Aloy before benching is in violation of the Tachanas Chachamim. that you're supposed to recite benching of their nusach, not in your nusach. You're not supposed to compose your nusach. So you find the same regarding Shira Malk. If you're in the middle of the meal on Shabbos or Yom Tov HaPesa, and you start talking about the matzah and Eretz Yisrael, you get to speak about Yerushalayim, you talk about the Beis Hamikdash, and hear the Baruch Shem Shabbat Rachman Yisrael. If it came up in conversation, it's wonderful. But if it didn't happen to come up in the middle of the conversation, and you have to fulfill it, Tachan Sachamim, and you say, Yuvnei Yerushalayim, Merakodesh, Meir, Yamenu, Baruch Atah Hashem, Meir, Rachman, Yerushalayim, Omei, and you have faith, and you say Shira Malk before, so he says, your Yaitse, the Haskorah, Yerushalayim, Shalai Benusach HaProfet. You're being Yaitse, the Yechiyah of Menatera, to mention Yerushalayim in the benching, not the Menusach that the Chachamim on the second. So he says that it's not right. He's opposed to the reciting of Shira Malk on principle all year long. The Mark of the Shira Malk comes from the Magen Avraham. It comes from the Magen Avraham, I think, quotes from the Shana Kodesh. But all year long, you should either say Al Narek Bavel or say Shira Malk before the benching. In order to have the Beitera in the meal, and in order to have Maskeres for Yerushalayim, for the Chud Mesamim. But Chaim Elozimer is quoted as saying that he's opposed to the Shir Malk for the same reason that he's opposed to the Tumah Shel Ha'am. Right, right. For other reasons, then. For other reasons. He's opposed to Elozimer. In the name of the Zulma Zayin, they quote that in the Yeshivas, they don't exactly say this overright. The name of the Zohar Zayin is quoted in the Maaseh Rav that on Shabbos and Yom Tov when it's forbidden to recite Tchines, that he wouldn't recite all of the Harachmans. He would only recite the first three Harachmans. And he wouldn't recite Harachmans when he was trying to say to the Chavis to ask about Parnassah. You're not supposed to worry about Parnassah on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Harachmans who eat late in the Altar, right? You're not supposed to crest about, you're not supposed to ask for Gula either. You're not supposed to worry about it on Shabbos. Harachmans who eat both late in the Altar, ask for money, ask for riches, also not. Yishachon is Eliyahu HaNovi. The Gemara says that Eliyahu HaNovi is not going to come on Shabbos, not going to come on Yom Tov. He's supposed to leave out all of these Harachmans on Shabbos and Yom Tov. He should only say the first three, which are not about Parnassah, not about Chinas, and then the Zohar Zayin used to skip till Harachman for Shabbos and Harachman for Yom Tov, and continue till the end. Unless you're leading by somebody else, and you have to say Harachman and Yivach and Salabai says there, that's a Takonim, that's either a demon out there or a Takonim, that's part of the bench. Yeshiva is the result of the Chalal. A lot of times they say, Zohar Zayin didn't say Harachman. It's not true. He didn't say all of the Harachman on Shabbos. On the weekdays, he did say all the Harachman. On Shabbos, he didn't say all of the Harachman. But because Harachman is not really an intrinsic part of the Birchas HaMazon, the Birchas HaMazon is really over at the end of the line, Le'olam Ayuch HaTzein, and they quote at the end of the Zohar Zayin that if you're listening to someone reciting Birchas HaMazon, you should say Amen. That's where the end of the bracha is. Le'olam Ayuch HaTzein should say Amen. So therefore, the tour has a dispute with his brother when you drink a kosher bracha like on Pesach night. When you recite Birchas HaMazon ala yayin, you're supposed to hold a cup of wine the whole time while you bench, and then after the benching you say Baruch Pi Agosim, you're not supposed to be mafsig in between the benching and the Baruch Pi Agosim. So where exactly do you recite the Baruch Pi Agosim? So the tour thinks that in Ishga Felix, if you wait till after all of Harachman, and then you say the Baruch Pi Agosim at the very end, he doesn't see that Harachman should constitute Efti. And his brother thinks, Rabbeinu Yechiel, his brother thinks that it is a hefsek. He thinks that you should say Baruch HaGavim right after the Yerlam HaYechasim. So those who always say Harachmans all year long can follow this tour. Those who don't say Harachmans all year long, at Punkt on Pesach night, they have a lot of time, so then they're going to say Harachmans. But as far as they can tell, it's not really part of the bench. But all year long, they don't say it. So they should really say the Baruch HaGavim right after the Yerlam HaYechasim. Unless they're reading by somebody else, then you have to say first the Baruch HaRachman Rav HaBalabai says it, this is the Baruch HaBalabai says it. And then say the Baruch Pi Agrafen and recite the Baruch. In many Haggadahs they have printed a L'shem Yichud before the Baruch Pi Agrafen, before everything. So it's not really right to recite at this point, to recite the L'shem Yichud, that would really be a hefsek. You're not supposed to be mafsek between the benching and the Baruch Pi Agrafen. It has to follow one after the other. Magen Avraham quotes such an issue regarding the final Baruch as well. The last Baruch Pi Agrafen is to be recited after the Birchas Hashir, after the Baruch that you recite over the Hallel. So again, in this article, Haggadah, they have the Baruch Pi Agrafen right after the bracha of Yishtabach, right at the conclusion of the bracha of Yishtabach. And the Magen Avraham quotes that other in this quote have the Baruch Pi Agrafen later, after half of the Tiritim Arovu, because you're not allowed to drink any more wine later, it can make it thirsty. So many communities have developed the meaning that you said Baruch Pi Agrafen halfway through all the Tiritim, it won't get thirsty late. And others hold that, no, that's not right, that all of these Yisim are not weaker, I think the wrong thing about Yisim. They're not permitted to be mafsik in between the bracha of Yishtabah and the Baruch Pi Agrafen. You should say the Baruch Pi Agrafen right away. At the conclusion, at the final conclusion of the Seder, leaving out all of the yuchim. So we call it saying it's kara shiuch, it's kara shiuch. The final section is near itself. The term mitzvah appears in Chumash and Tanakh almost always only in connection with Kavanah. And you bring a carbon block on the ball for it, it's a little hopper all of it. You want that the carbon should be a reason. On Pesach night, even though we haven't brought the carbon Pesach, but we have spoken about the carbon Pesach a lot. The Pesach Shahayah, I'm saying, also, there's not going to be a Shahayah time and so on. So after speaking about the carbon Pesach, then when we start the near saw, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept our speaking about the carbon, even we have been not with the carbon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us this clear that this year, we should be able to eat the carbon Pesach now.
Do you have a taste of the table?